Roy, if you're up there or listening, touche. It's good to be here today. Thankful for each and every one who have found it in their hearts to come this way. First service of the new year. Never thought that in all my imagination that I would come to a point to where I say 2026, but I suppose that's the case with everyone today. We're grateful for that song, "How Rich and Pure is the Love of God." It cannot be described. It cannot be measured. It cannot be held, you know, within our hands like we hold other things. But it is something that we experience. And there are times whenever that it is a very humbling experience, whenever that we feel God's love towards us. And then to think also that He would send His Son to die for us. It's beyond comprehension. It's beyond understanding. We think about what Paul said in one place, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I've said this before, and I'll probably repeat this again. We kind of disagree with Paul on that. I agree with him about the fact that Christ came to save sinners. But I kind of dispute that about of whom he is chief. I feel like that I was the chiefest of sinners. And we don't say that in false humility or anything like that. But we truly feel that way this day. If you have your Bible with you, turn with us to the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. Second book of Moses, out of the five that are called the Pentateuch or the books of the law of Moses. This is on an occasion where that they will start a new year. They will no longer measure time. They will no longer measure their years, their months, in the manner that they did whenever they were in Egypt. And with that, they would commemorate and start the first Passover. Just like today, the first Sunday here at Elkton, we'll be observing the Lord's Supper in just a little while. And I think that's kind of fitting. You know, the first Sunday to honor Christ with the Lord's Supper, to remember the price that He paid. So with this, we read from the first verse, and it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls of every man, according to his eating, and you shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish." Notice here are the descriptions of what they are to sacrifice. And I realize today that there was a lot of do's and don'ts and rules, but it was for a purpose. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood of that lamb and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, the lamb, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs they shall eat. Eat not of it raw, not soddened at all with water, but roast with fire, and his head with his legs with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Supper. Now the reason we find in the 12th and 13th verse. He said, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And this is very, very, very significant today. And it holds weight even in this day in which that we live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. If correctly read, includes the first down through the 13th verses of the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's what distinguished and would distinguish them from the Egyptians. God was looking for one thing. He was looking to see if the blood had been applied under the doorpost of their homes. It's basically the same thing today, only we don't do that with a lamb or with a bullock or with a goat, but it's the blood of Christ applied unto our heart and unto our soul. And when the judgment of God comes down full force, that's what he's looking for, to see if the blood has been applied under the hearts of each and every one. Our theme and our thought will come from the first chapter, from 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the latter part of that, where that it speaks and it says, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Whenever that we consider this today, there was a lot of types and shadows in that day and in that time in the Old Testament. A type and a shadow is something that represents a greater meaning. Sometimes in the midst of the prophecies, as we said last week, there would be a spot that would be written that would talk about Christ coming. And someone will say today, well, you find Christ in the Old Testament, and you find Christ in the New Testament. And you know, I didn't write the book, and I guess today that I see Christ in everything. Because, my friend, he is Redeemer. He is Lord. He is Savior. These things that were done in the Passover in Egypt, and subsequently from that time on, it was not a one-time thing. It was done foreshadowing that Christ would come. Now, I don't know if many of the children of Israel understood that, but they did know this, that it took the shedding of blood in order for them to be spared. And you know, today, they kept that year after year after year after year. And it was a temporal redemption. In other words, it was not that you observe it one time and that's it and you're saved. But they had to depend upon those instructions that Moses gave unto them. And in those instructions, we see a picture, if you will. We see a portrait, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I believe with all of my heart that with that institution of the Passover that started in Egypt, there was one thing that was oh so important that they were to always observe. And that was what kind of a sacrifice, what kind of lamb that they would choose. Now, they didn't go out into the herd and on the 10th day of Nisan. That was the new month. And you find it in the scriptures where that it was also referred to as Aviv. And that's all the Hebrew lesson I'm going to give with that. But we find that they took that lamb. They looked it over. They searched up and down and looked for any blemish that might be there. And if there was any kind of blemish or scarring or anything like that, then they were not to use that lamb. It was to be pure. It was to be without blemish. And it was to be the first of the male of the flocks. You might say that, boy, that's very particular. Aren't you glad you don't live under the law? I don't know that I would be able to find a spotless lamb, but they were commanded to. And in that sacrifice, that lamb was a picture and a symbol, if you will, of the requirement for sacrifice. They would take that lamb and they would cut its throat. Now, I'm going to get kind of graphic here, but they would cut its throat. They would catch the blood, and that blood would go over the doorpost and on the side post. And that's what God demanded. And you might say, well, that's rather cruel, isn't it? That's an awful scene. But you know, it matches up to what our sin is in the sight of God. God cannot look upon sin. God cannot tolerate sin. And I know in this day and time we think that God just kind of overlooks some of the sins that are going on in this day and time. But he keeps record and he knows. And we find that he would look through the blood. When he looks at your soul today, he looks through the blood of Christ Jesus. And that's what this was pointing towards. Towards a spotless lamb. Towards one that was without spot. We just celebrated his birthday not too long ago. And everyone will say today, well, you know, Christmas is over. No, the gift, this Christ is the gift that keeps on giving. I know that sounds like an advertisement, but it's true. His is the gift that keeps on giving. Because the Bible teaches us that in this, he was going to offer himself. Now, people will say, well, it was the Romans who killed him. No, it wasn't the Romans. Now, I know there's some people today and don't believe this and jump on the anti-Semitic bandwagon. It wasn't just his people that called for it. Do you want to know who all is responsible for his death? It's just as though we held the hammer in his hand, in our hand, and nailed him to a cross. But we find that we are redeemed. We are redeemed through this, not with the blood of bullocks and of goats, it says over in the book of Hebrews, but with the precious blood of Christ. We find that when we approach this table, we are remembering his death. We're remembering the price that would be paid. We're remembering today how that he took upon himself the responsibility. He did not do it because it was duty alone. He did it because he loved mankind. And he said in one place, he said, "No greater love hath any man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends." And every one of us today are benefactors of that act that he did whenever that he laid down his life. So what does it mean today, the Lord's Supper? When we say the Lord's Supper, you notice that I said there were three things that were involved in the Passover. The lamb, the unleavened bread, and then the bitter herbs. Oh yes, the bitter herbs. The bitterness of enslavement. The bitterness of bondage today. But whenever that he turned from his disciples and he began what we're going to observe today, when you look upon this, my friend, this goes all the way back to Christ. He established this. He set this forth in his church. He set this forth for us to remember, for us to take to heart what it cost the dear Savior in giving himself for the sins of mankind. We find that Paul says in one place, he says, "And when he had given thanks, it said, he broke the bread and said, 'Eat, this is my body.'" It represented his body. It was not that it turned into his body and it became like another sacrifice again, but he said, "With the bread, take, eat. For this is my body, and when you do it, you do in remembrance of him." After that, they had taken the bread and partook of that, and there was nothing else, no other elements that are in it. I want to preach something to you today, that there's nothing that you can add unto salvation. There is nothing that you can add unto redemption. There is nothing that can be attached to it. It was a perfect sacrifice. It was like that lamb. It was like what was offered. My friend, Jesus, whenever that he came, my friend, the Bible tells us there was no guile, nor was there anything about him that was false or that was sinful today. He was the sinless Lamb of God. In fact, John said over in one place, in John chapter 1 and verse 29, he said these words whenever that he saw Jesus coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." John didn't say, "Oh, that's my cousin over there. We're related. Zechariah is my father, and Joseph is his father." He didn't attach any kind of human relationship to it, except that he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And so adamant was John the Baptist about it that he repeated it the second time on another occasion and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." I hold forth the scriptures and all that is contained in it about Christ, and I declare unto you today, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And I want you to realize today, you're not going to get into heaven by good works. My friend, there's no works that we can do that even merits the attention of God. There's no works that we can do that's perfect enough to be accepted in the sight of God. But brother, I want to tell you something. When you get to heaven, they're not going to be looking for what all that you did. Yes, there's rewards in heaven. But what God is looking for is to see if the blood of Christ has been applied unto the heart. Paul goes on and he says, "This, my body is broken for you. Do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, he said, "This cup This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as ye drink of it in remembrance of me. And he said, as oft as ye eat this bread and you drink this cup, do you know what you do? You show forth the Lord's death until when? Until that he comes. I'm thankful that we observe this supper from time to time. I'm thankful that we do come together, and people have debated and said, oh, you shouldn't do it but once a year or once a week or whatever the case might be. It does not matter how often that this bread and this cup is attended unto. The thing of it is, it's to remember, it's to commemorate, it's to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and how that he suffered and how that he gave himself for the sins of the world. Along those same lines about how often churches do it, you know, I pastored a church one time that they were not going to take it until that they all felt worthy. Do you feel worthy? I'm not. I'm not whenever I take it. And I want to tell you something. We'll never achieve perfection and worthiness if that's one of the qualifications for it. We'll never achieve it. That's why that we gather at this table. That's why that we partake of this bread and of this cup, is because that we were unworthy, and that Christ died for the unworthy. He died for the sinner. He died, my friend, for all of us today to give us an opportunity that we might be saved. In this, there is spiritual nourishment. You know, he said in one place, he said, do not labor for the bread that comes from above, that is the manna. You know, and someone will say, well, Christ came from above. What was wrong with the manna? It was only temporary. Do you know whenever that manna landed on the ground, they had to eat it right away. And it came every morning. Because if they just left it there, it would rot and it would stink and everything else. But I want to tell you something. The bread that came down from heaven, Jesus Christ today, he said, if you eat of this bread, he said, you will never die. If you drink of this cup, he said, you'll live eternally. I'm not even worthy to walk up to this table. In this also, we anticipate the Lord's coming again. He said in another place, he said that I'll not eat of this bread nor drink of this cup until I drink it anew with you in the Father's kingdom. You know, one of these days we're going to be called home, and we're going to be called unto what is referred to as the marriage supper of the Lamb. The church, those that have been saved, baptized, that are working for him today, will comprise that blessed bride today. You know, I used to have a picture, or I had one at one time, a picture that showed a bride, and it was comprised of people that were coming out of every corner of the earth. And you know, when you followed it up, it became the bride's dress. And when you followed it up, it became the back of the bride's neck and head. And she was looking up, and Christ, her bridegroom, was looking down. You're espoused unto one that paid the ransom for you. Paul said over in one place, he said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you unto one, Christ Jesus. And you know, I can understand Paul's statement like that. As we stand in this pulpit, it's my desire that you draw closer and closer and closer unto him. Not that you're not close, but you know something? There's no such thing as getting too close to the Lord. Amen. There's no such thing today. Do you know what an asymptote is? I got to be careful when I pronounce that because I kind of mumble. But an asymptote is like you have a line here and you have another one coming down. And it comes closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. And it never touches that line. There's always room. And in math, it goes on forever and forever and forever. Infinity. That's how it is with walking with the Lord. My friend, sometimes I think that I'm walking close to Him and there's still more room. There's still more things to understand about the great plan of salvation, about His love for us. I love the song that was sung by Sister Karen. Who can define? Who can define the love of God? Who can take it and put it in a test tube or put it on display or put it to where that it is seen by all? Who can do such a thing? No one can. And I want to tell you, my friend, the love of God reached down in an upright beam called the cross. My friend, all the way from heaven. Now, I want you to know, my friend, those cross beams that held His hands, they go out forever and forever and forever. I want to tell you, the love of God does not come to the planet Saturn and, okay, we're going to end it here. No, it goes on and on and on. It's infinite. It is eternal today. My friend, there is no end unto the love of God. There is no end of the depth of the love of God. I love that black spiritual that says it's so wide, you can't get around it. It's so high, you can't get over it. It's so deep that you cannot get under it. You have to come through the door. And I'm thankful today to have experienced that love. No greater love, He said, hath any man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Do you know what today? You're a friend of Jesus. He laid down His life for you. And as we partake of this cup and of this bread, as we come together, as we look at this table, as you look at the bread that you hold in your hand, and you hold the cup, you do it in remembrance of Him. You're showing forth His death. You're showing forth His passion. How that, my friend, that it was all that could be done or could be given to redeem man from sin.